introduction. Father Peter Leung entered the Holy Spirit Seminary in 1958. I won't say when we were born. After obtaining a philosophy degree, he was sent to Rome for further studies in theology in Propaganda Fidei. I don't know if that's pronounced properly. After 3 years of study, Father Leung received training in the spirituality of unity with the Focolare movement. He was ordained priest in Hong Kong in 1972. Apart from 2 years working in the seminary, plus 1 year of study of pastoral theology in Chicago, he spent his time serving in different parishes in Hong Kong. On September the 1st, 2001, Father Leung was sent to the Chinese Martyrs Catholic Church in Toronto, Canada, to serve as a pastor. In September 2007, he was sent to serve in the Church of the Annunciation in Tsuen Wan, Hong Kong. So today, Father will speak to us about the charisma of the unity of the work of Mary, also known as Opera di Maria or the Focolare Movement. Let's put our hands together again for Father.
Shall we stand? I prefer to hold it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful that I'm being
invited. It's okay now. That I'm talking with Leslie at my side and when sharing with her part of my third age experience. I was born during the war time. You can imagine, no? We have the same category.
Absolutely.
I born during the war time.
Well, I was born a little bit after.
Sorry.
Only a few years.
I was watching the coastline in the Kowloon Dock before. It's what was the property of my father before the war. But during the war, all confiscated. So I told Nesby that I have five mothers.
Wow.
There's a steady home. Kind of. My mother is number four.
Wow.
And my first mother has five children, and my mother had three. So altogether eight children, the family. I think I'm the first one to become a Catholic. As I was telling Leslie, I was born in a Buddhist family. There shouldn't be any way to become a Christian. But because thanks to the war, the thing changed. If I'm still living with my father, I'm not sure where am I now today. It's another different world. But because he died, and only my mother with my brother and sister, we live apart. By that time, we become poor, no more money. I live in the place called Soy Street, Mong Kok area. You can understand. But then, by my time, Soil Street is not existing yet. And then there was a school. It's an Anglican school. All Saints.
Okay. Sounds very Anglican.
So this, I'm attracted by the songs, the Christmas festivals of the school. So one day I asked, it was Anglican, no? One day I asked my mother, who are they? Why are they singing? And the first time my mother informed me, they believe in Jesus Christ and the one who died on the cross for whole humanity. That's my first conception of Christianity from my pagan mother. Still pagan.
Yeah.
I could not enter into the Anglican school, but I had opportunity to enter another Protestant school, a Baptist. Puijing school. So from Puijing, I consider myself a Christian already. So I joined the Christian community among the people, among the students. So I enrolled to become a Christian, being baptized in the Baptist church. But unfortunately, I don't know what reason, they didn't accept me. I don't know why. There shouldn't be, but no reason. But then after that, during that time, my mother was in the hospital. That time it was in a Catholic hospital, St. Teresa. That's the first time I met the religious sisters of St. Paul, the Sharp, and also the parish priest. It was an Italian Pime father. So when I was visiting my mother one afternoon, the priest saw me. I was still young, 7 years old. So, do you like to become be baptized? You want to be baptized? So I thought, I enrolled for 3 years for the Baptist church. But for me, I have no choice. I just say yes. I didn't choose to become an Anglican or a Baptist or Catholic. Just the chance comes in. And then you got the last choice. It's a priest. Then I say yes. So then I become a Catholic and baptized together with my mother. And so this is how I become a Christian Catholic. And you ask me at what age I want to be a priest.
Yes.
Because since being baptized, I was served the altar as an altar boy. And for, I don't know why, for 3 years, I go to Mass every morning to serve Mass, but attend Mass, because no concept of serving, of attending Mass, just do some job. We don't have the kind of high theology. What's the meaning to attend Mass? I don't. But I just go for 3 years consecutively, even rainy day, sunny day, morning. But by that time, I entered Lhasa College at that time. So after school, after Mass, went to school. I think one of my vocation comes from a Salesian priest. She doesn't know what order I came from, no, so
she's still wondering. Me guessing.
Okay, she's still guessing. She's still guessing. I joined the Tang Tempo, the Sunday fun fair. That's all. And there was a priest, Italian priest, very gentle. And now and then, and he come to me, "Do you like to become a priest?" I never thought about what's a priest. But he, "Would you like to become?" Well, perhaps. And that's how the seed comes from that priest. After a couple of years, then I find, and also some of my classmates also entered the seminary by that time. So I say, why don't I follow them? That's how I joined the diocesan.
Ah!
She never thought of that diocesan priesthood. Now, I told you about the experience of connection with our Heavenly Mother. As you know, that I went to Rome to study theology, I think 1967. I was sent there not because I'm smart, because by that year, 1967, is a year of turmoil politically. And so all the roads were blocked, and also even the government house, you know, all the big words and, you know, striking Mao Zedong and then all this, you know, Gong Qing, all this. So my whole class was sent to Rome. So over there, 1 year. Usually in summertime, we have an opportunity to work, to do volunteer work during summertime, because we don't have to study the whole year, no? And it's three months holiday. So in 1 year, and I think it's 1969, I went to Lourdes to work as a volunteer, so I can have free boarding and lunch and everything. And then that time, I had opportunity to stay more time before the grotto of Heavenly Mother of Lourdes. I didn't ask much from Our Lady. I just asked her, what's the best you give to me? Because by that time, it was during after the Vatican II, many of professors, religious people, famous ones, all left the priesthood. And seminary, many of classmates left. So I was kind of, what about me? Yeah. Shall I go out, or follow them, or stay? I was in Italy. I don't know what. It kind of, not a serious question, but still, there's a question there. It's a new era after Vatican II, open door, So I asked a lady, should I go there or where? I didn't ask. I said, you give me the best. Whatever the best, you give to me. Too much, asking too much. But really, our Heavenly Mother is really listening if you really ask. So don't hesitate to ask anything.
Give me the best. Without asking much, give me the best.
That's right. So, now, after 6 months, I wasn't aware of this. After 6 months, I had opportunity to visit a place in the center of Italy, near Florence, a place called Loppiano. By that time, it's a small place that the Focolare movement is kind of formation center for young people, really from all over the world. Because by that time, already for 20 years already, the Focolare movement is spread out through the world. And many young people coming from all over the world there. So I had opportunity to stay. I applied only for a week. But the grace is coming from there. I don't know them very well. I heard about them, as many of you heard about the Focolare movement, heard about the Mariapolis, heard about Chiararubi. You have heard many things, me too. Not sure. I would try to see myself. I have any connection with my prayer in Lourdes. I never thought about it. Over there, I try to scrutinize their spirituality and try to criticize them and try to questioning them. And strangely speaking, they were very gentle to answer my question. And they so share with me, we have the same experience when we first come to this place. Then I feel more consolation because I thought I'm the only one who's so rebellious to probably know about these things. But then, still, I'm critical. Since I have only 7 days, so I told myself, even they're not living up to the spirituality of called charity. Charity is when the one will love. So I make my decision, even if they don't greet me, I greet them. Even nobody clean the things, I clean it. It's not because of my good intention, just to tell, I do it and you are just talking. This is proud, this is pride. But God also using our pride to convert us. So, but still my conscience is not at ease. Even though I do all my best to do, but this only to show people I'm better than you, but this is not charity. You although I greet you, but just to tell you I'm better than you. So this is not charity at all.
So I couldn't sleep for a few nights. God is giving me a grace that time. One evening, I think early morning, around 3-4 o'clock, I was still sleeping in the bed. And suddenly, a kind of light from the ceiling coming down towards me. Then I find, I got it. I got the light. And for, you see, ever since, after night of this spirituality, of unity, it's a given. Not because I study. I find it so true, so real. But before that, I find no way, no way. This is only the work of the Holy Spirit. So through this experience of light, so I really believe that God is choosing, giving me this ray. So that's what, therefore, after going back to seminary, I wrote to the bishop asking, I want to leave the seminary for 1 year to join the Focolare spirituality. I want to read something from the gospel that I think is very useful. It's coming from the appearance on the road to Emmaus. It's Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. Just be patient. Now, that very day, two of them were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem, called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one who redeemed Israel. And besides all this, it's now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described. But him they did not see." And Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophet spoke. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on further. But they urged him, stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With their eyes were open, were deepened, sorry, with their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning in us, while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them. So I want to share this passage. Is a kind of experience that we have the same. We like Jesus walking by our side, we don't recognize him. Even the Jesus spoke to us so many things in of life, we don't recognize, we don't see, we don't hear. But Jesus is accompanying. This is my way. I think this is what I studied theology all through. By life will find God. Paradoxically. I don't have God. But with these young people, through the mutuality of love, they share the presence of Christ. It's something you can't just talk in theology. The professor never tell you what happened. We heard about so many times, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, where two or three united name, I'm in your midst. We never see him. We never experience his presence. Until one day, really, we want to live this love, this mutual love. When we say mutual love, the founder of Chiara Lubich is telling in teaching us love and sacrifice is always together. There's one phrase called, there's no rose without thorns. But she said, there's no thorns without rose. When there's suffering, there must always, always the fruit. So when we say we love, we say we want to imitate Christ, his life, totally not for self, completely giving out for all, until the point he not only lose his physical life, also his spiritual life. He lost the light of God the Father. Remember, he's crying out on the cross, "God, God, why have you forsaken me?" For our sake, his body crucified, his spirit in complete darkness. It's a hell, experience of hell. For our sake, Jesus loved us to that point. That's why Jesus says there is no bigger love than who once died for his friend. And Jesus died for us. He treats us as a friend. Many times in John's Gospel, say, "I'm not calling you a servant. The servant doesn't know what the master is thinking. I call you friend." Me too. Jesus is really calling. On the other hand, a heavenly mother, since he was giving the task, "Lady, this is your son. This is your mother." And from that time, a heavenly mother, Mother Mary, always faithful to her call, only look after John, all of us. Even John, he never mentioned his name in the gospel. The disciple, beloved. So we are all beloved disciples of Jesus. So our Heavenly Mother is always the mother. So we can imagine all these years, and I've been sharing before, especially recent years, the Medjugorje experience, Of course, you are still doubting whether it's because not yet recognized by the church, and then you are asking, is it right, correct to go there? I tell you when... Well, yeah, I know. The vice chancellor of a diocese this year is coming with me to Medjugorje. So he's a vice chancellor. So he got a, if he's not sure, he won't come. You can imagine. Anyway, our Heavenly Mother is good to us. He never keep us to herself. He was lead us, guide us to his son. So when I met the Fokrai movement in Nopiano, our Heavenly Mother is leading us, leading me to him. The experience of unity is the experience of love, the experience of mutual love, the experience of Jesus here being one with us, whatever you do, release, you do to me, whatever, this concept is a Heavenly Mother's task, that always closer and closer to his son. And that's why the Fokrai movement before the church is called the Work of Mary, Opera di Maria, because it's hidden. Mary never showed herself up. One last thing I share with you, one of the pastor of a Lutheran pastor working in Germany, and I met him once, and he shared with us. He said, as a Lutheran, they don't talk too much about Heavenly Mother. But now, he said, after I'm meeting you Catholics, living this mutual love, I'm convinced that our Christian vocation is the vocation of Heavenly Mother. Why? Because our Lady, Heavenly Mother, is giving Jesus to us. We Christians, through our mutual love, we let Jesus be present in our midst. With two or three, we're united in my name, I'm in your midst. So we Christians share the same light, the same faith as our Heavenly Mother. And that's why he said, his name is Dieter Fürst, he said, I really believe our Heavenly Mother is our mother because he teaches us to live like a good Christian, the one who share the God's Father's love through our mutuality of love. Thank you.